Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. And as always, Lord, I pray that you might give us ears to hear. You might take away the distractions and enable us to see the Lord Jesus and to lean on him, to rely on him and to rejoice in him. Amen. Well, many years ago, I was a brand new Christian and there was an announcement at the church I was at. And the announcement was that there was going to be a healing service. And I didn't know what that meant. I had no idea what to do with that. So I asked the assistant minister, a guy called Graham Sedarenko, who preached here last week. I went to Graham and said, Graham, what's it about? What happens there? And he said, how about you come along with me and see for yourself? So I thought, okay, so I'll go along. So I went along to the healing service and I got there and it was not like any other service I'd been to. People were kind of very excited and upbeat and making lots of noise and running over to people and putting hands on people. And it was very different to what I'd experienced to that point. And anyway, they came up to me and said, do you need healing? I was in my 20s. I didn't need healing. So I said, no. And I went up to Graham and said, do you need healing? He said, actually, my back. My back's really giving me a lot of grief. And so they poured around him. They kind of cocooned him and hands were on him and things were being called out and yelled out and it was all very exciting to watch. So afterwards, I walked out with him. I asked him the obvious question. How's your back? And he said, well, actually, they were kind of leaning on my back. And so it's probably worse than it was when I went in. So what went wrong? Did Graham have a lack of faith? Was it he didn't have enough faith to be healed? Or was it that the people who were trying to heal him didn't have the authority to do it? Well, I think actually both of those were true. I don't think Graham went in there expecting to be healed. I think he went in there really just because he thought, well, I'll show this young guy what a healing service looks like and see what he thinks. But neither do I think they had the authority to heal. I don't think that the people who were trying to heal him were able to do what we see done so clearly and so easily in Jesus. So we're going to have a look at Jesus today. And we're going to, as we turn to Jesus, we're going to see faith and healing is matched by, faith, compassion and authority. So we're going to see today that everyone who came to Jesus in faith received compassion and healing. For all that came to him in faith, they received compassion and healing. We're going to see, there are three stories. We're going to see it in each of the three accounts. So let's start off at verse 1. When he came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. Right away, a man with leprosy came up and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Reaching out his hand, Jesus touched him, saying, I am willing. Be made clean. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. So, keep it in perspective. Jesus was just up on the mountain, the Sermon on the Mount. He's preaching to the crowds, and large crowds have followed him down the mountain. And this man with leprosy comes up to him and says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. That's a great prayer of faith, isn't it? It's a prayer of faith because he says, you can make me clean if you're willing. And that's a big question. Is Jesus willing? See, the social stigma of a leper was huge. Now, the fact that one of my sons is currently isolating in his room with COVID, that's just a great timing for a sermon illustration. So I'm very thankful to Ben for catching COVID this week. If tomorrow's prayer meeting was at my place, how would you feel? If I said, I'll just come anyway, I've got someone with COVID there in the front room, they'll be isolating. Now, some of you are going, sure. Others in the room are going, yeah, I'm not so sure. Not sure, sure I really want to come to your house if someone with COVID is there. And I've got to say, I understand. So this morning I'm here. I've had 3 RAT tests in the last 3 days. They've all come up negative. So I thought I'll wear a mask. I'll come across. I won't stay after the service. I'll take precautions, but I'm okay to be here. My wife, Vanessa, she's a bit more cautious. She thought, no, I think I'll stay home. We're all different that way. We'll have different expectations. But for this man, there's none of that. This man has leprosy or at least some sort of skin condition. If I were to touch this man, under Jewish law, I'm unclean. And that means I can't be part of the sacrificial system. I can't go and celebrate because I'm unclean. I then have to perform the cleansing ritual and I'm unclean till evening. The social stigma of a leper means he is perpetually unclean. Anyone who touches him is unclean, and he can't even live in the town. He has to live outside, which is probably why he's come to Jesus out in the wilderness. Would Jesus be willing? Well, here's the amazing bit. Jesus is more than willing, isn't he? Jesus could have said to him right then, yes, you're clean. Go and be clean. But he didn't. What did he do? He reached out and touched him. Now, under Jewish law, what does that mean? The clean has touched the unclean, therefore the clean is, say it with me, unclean. Excellent. Jesus is unclean. But what actually happens is the unclean becomes clean. Jesus cleansed him. Jesus healed him. So Jesus was more than willing. He was compassionate. And he had authority. The faith of the man came into contact with the compassion and the authority of Jesus, and the result was cleansing. The man was healed. Second example comes in verse 5. When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed in terrible agony. He said to him, am I to come and heal him? Lord, the centurion replied, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, having soldiers under my command. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Hearing this, Jesus was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with so great a faith. I'll go back to the first slide. What do we see? The faith of the centurion. He's got a servant at home, paralyzed in terrible agony. What is his faith? His faith is that Jesus is able to heal him. So he goes to Jesus. He's confident that Jesus can heal. But again, there's social taboos happening. The centurion is not a Jew. And what does that mean to a Jew? If I'm a Jewish person, I'm not going to enter your home because in your home, you make food your way, not the Jewish way. Therefore, your home is unclean. If I enter your house, I run the risk of being unclean again. So you don't invite, if you're a non-Jew, you don't invite a Jew to your house because, well, they can be unclean. But the centurion says something incredible. I don't want you to come to my house. In fact, I'm not worthy to have you come to my house. But say the word and my servant will be cleansed. Now the centurion, he's a commander. He understands authority. He has soldiers. He can direct people to go and do things and they do it. His superiors can direct him to do things and he does it. He understands how authority works. He looks at Jesus and says, you have authority. You say the word and my servant's healed. You have authority over sickness. And the result, verse 13, as you've believed, let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that very moment. Now, I know if that was me, I got home, find my centurion walking around, I'd be saying, what time? What time did it happen? That's the same time I spoke to Jesus. Right? No matter what your faith is, there's still that moment of amazement, isn't there? Well, and he was clean. Did Jesus have compassion on the Gentile servant? Yes. Did Jesus have authority to heal him? Yes. So again, what do we see? The faith of the centurion comes into contact with Jesus, and the result, compassion and healing. Compassion and authority. And the last example, verses 14 and 16. Jesus went into Peter's house, saw his mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her. Then she got up and began to serve him. When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. He drove out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Now, there's no explicit demonstration of faith by Peter's mother-in-law, is there? There's nothing where she says, I know that if you touch me, you'll heal me. But I take it there's an implicit faith here. Peter took Jesus to his mother-in-law. And you think by now, hopefully Peter, who's been following Jesus for all this time, has thought, hey, maybe Jesus can heal my mother-in-law. And so he takes him to her. But we then see more explicit faith with the crowds, don't we? The crowds bring many who are demon-possessed, and he drives out the spirits and heals all who are sick. And so, what happens? The crowds come into contact through faith with Jesus, and the result? They find compassion and authority. Jesus cares about it and can do something about it. The demon-possessed and the sick were healed. So what can we conclude? People who came to Jesus in faith found compassion and authority. That's right through the whole section. Jesus cared for them, and he had the authority to do something about their problems. And friends, this is one of the most compelling things about Jesus. One of the most compelling things about him. Compassion and authority in one person. You can come to Jesus confident that he cares, that he has compassion on you. And you can come to him confident that he has utter authority. And that's so compelling because we don't always find that. In fact, most of the time we don't. I'm going to ask you one of those questions which the answer is yes. Have you ever dealt with someone who has authority but no compassion? Have you ever heard words like, I'm sorry, I really can't help you with that, my hands are tied. You'll need to go through the right channels. Have you had those moments where you're standing in front of the person who can fix the issue you're dealing with, but they're not willing? Now, of course, I recognise sometimes it's right. Sometimes, yes, you're queue jumping or whatever it may be. There are times when it's not right to solve your problem there and then. But it's so frustrating, isn't it? When you stand there, you've found the right person and they don't care. So frustrating. Sometimes people have authority, but not compassion. But Jesus is not one of those people. Jesus is full of compassion. He cares for you. Jesus will never lack compassion. Now, I think for us Christians, it's often the opposite problem, though. We have all the compassion in the world, but no authority to do anything about it. People come to you with all sorts of complaints and griefs and trials, and you feel for them and you wish you could make a difference, but you can't. You don't have that authority. I was sharing earlier, I was trying to think through. At the moment in my family, so there's six in my family, we've got four of us currently seeing physio. We've got two seeing a gastroenterologist, one seeing a knee surgeon, and another one with possible surgery coming up. It just happens all the time, doesn't it? You're always off collecting specialists and paying them a fortune. If I had the authority to heal, that wouldn't be the case. I mean, if I had the authority to heal, I'd see you guys quickly, right? We do our thing here, then we go down the hospital. Walk from room to room. Let's empty Campbelltown Hospital. That's what I would do if I had the power to heal. But I don't. But again, Jesus is not like that. Jesus has compassion and he has authority. Jesus has all of God's authority. Which leads to an important question, doesn't it? If Jesus has compassion and Jesus has authority, then why am I seeing a knee specialist this week? Why am I not healed? Why are you not healed? That's an important question, and it's a serious question. I've seen people walk away from Jesus because of sickness. I've seen it happen. So why does the Bible contain all of these healings if we don't see them in the same way today? Well, for that, I want to think about the point of these signs. What are the point of all these signs? But before I even get there, I want to recognize something important. Jesus does heal today. You can pray to Jesus, and sometimes there's healing. Not every time. Sometimes there's healing. I've seen prayers answered where you're going, oh, that's just too freaky to be a coincidence. The people that have had cancer, then they have another scan and there's no sign of the cancer. You're going, whoa, that's freaking me out. I've seen those kind of prayers answered. But what we see in the Bible is still different. The kind of prayers we see answered in the Bible are so instant, so complete, so full. Now, sometimes we pray for someone to get better and we watch over time as they heal and we thank God. But that's not what we see here, is it? Jesus walks up to the man with the skin condition, touches him and says, you're clean. And he is. Jesus says the man who's home paralyzed in agony is fine now. And he is. It's so different. Peter's mother-in-law, laying in bed, he touches her. She gets up and serves them. When I'm sick and I'm recovering, I don't want to serve anyone. I get man flu. You know, you girls have no idea what that's like. But it's probably the most debilitating thing to humanity. And it takes a while to come back. But not for Jesus. One touch and there is healing. So, why is that? Well, I've left one part out of each of these three accounts. One important key. And it's to help us understand the signs. Why does Jesus do it? What does the healing point to in each case? So if we go back to verse 4. After healing the leper, Jesus says, see that you don't tell anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Not as a testimony to them. Why did Jesus heal the leper? As a testimony to the priests. That's what he wants the leper to do. He wants the leper to be a sign, to send a message to the priests. So to put it in perspective, Leviticus 13 and 14, probably everyone's favourite book, Leviticus, right? We love reading about animal sacrifices and things. But anyway, in Leviticus 13 and 14, what happens? There is skin diseases, various skin diseases you have. And if you've got a various skin disease, then you are unclean. You're excluded from community like we talked about before. What do you do? Well, if it gets better, in Leviticus 14, you go and show yourself to the priest. The priest examines it, makes sure it is clean. If it is clean, the priest declares you clean and you're allowed back into the community. That's Leviticus 14. But here, Jesus says, do this as a testimony to them. So what's the message you're sending the priest? There is someone who can heal. There is someone among you who can take a skin disease and make it better. Jesus has the compassion and he has the authority. The healing was a sign pointing back to Jesus as the one with his power and authority to make the unclean clean. And he can make us clean. In our uncleanness, he makes us clean. Well, the second account is a little bit different. He encounters the amazing faith of the centurion. This centurion who says, you don't even have to know my servant. You don't even have to be there. You can heal by remote control. And he says, truly I tell you, I've not found anyone in Israel with so great a faith. I tell you that many will come from the east and west to share the banquet with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's Jesus talking about? He's talking about the banquet in the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about eternal life. He's talking about after this life, taking your seat with God and enjoying him forever. That's what he's talking about. That's the point he's trying to make. And what's his point? Well, it's a bit embarrassing for the Jews standing here. He says, this Roman centurion has shown greater faith than all of you. He's not even a Jew. He's not even one of God's chosen people, and he's shown greater faith in you. And more than that, many people from the east and west. Who are east and west? Well, east and west of the Jews are not Jews. Yeah, you're either Jews or you live outside. He says many of the outsiders will be at that banquet. But many of the sons of the kingdom, that is, you Jews, will not. And so in one moment, Jesus declared that many of the outsiders, and for which we're very thankful, unless you're a Jew here today, most of us aren't, we're so thankful for that. that we can be part of this kingdom, we can share in eternal life. But he also warned that many of the Jews wouldn't. And what's the difference? The difference is faith. The difference is faith. The centurion showed faith. There's a sign that we who are outsiders can be brought in. And those insiders without that faith would be excluded. And so the faith of the centurion demonstrates that being born a Gentile, that is not a Jew, doesn't exclude you from God's kingdom, nor does being born a Jew guarantee you a place in it. It is by faith in Christ. And in the third account, there's another sign. After driving out the spirits and healing the sick in verse 18, Matthew argues that all of these signs fulfilled the words of the prophet in Isaiah 52:13 to 53:12. He himself took our weaknesses and carried our diseases. Now, we Christians, we don't always know our Old Testament that well, but most of us know Isaiah 53 because it's cool. We read Isaiah 53 about this servant who would be exalted and despised, who would take up our weaknesses, who would be pierced for our rebellion, by whose wounds we are healed, who would justify many, carrying their iniquities, bearing the sin of many. And who do we think of? Call it out. Jesus. That wasn't a great call out, actually, to be honest. I was hoping for better than that. But anyway, we think of Jesus. He's the one who carries our iniquity, bears our sin, who justifies us, who makes the unclean clean. He presents us before God so that we can share in this kingdom of heaven. You see, these healings, they're good. They're good in their own right. Healings are great. When God answers that prayer for healing, it's wonderful. But the healings still point to something far more important. Far more important. They point to something that is ours through faith in Jesus Christ. And so I want to finish by talking about that. Think about faith and healing today and thinking about our perspective. Because this image of Jesus is so desirable. I'm confident that if this morning Jesus was out on the paddock and he was healing people, I'd have no one left here. You'd all say, yep, thanks, Jim. See ya. I'm out of here. And I wouldn't blame you. I'd probably hobble out there as well and say, I've got a shoulder and a knee and a few other bits and pieces. Can you heal those? I wouldn't blame you at all. It is so desirable. The struggles of this world are so painful. We don't like them. Healing is desirable. But, of course, Jesus isn't out on the paddock. He's not with us in the same way. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in glory where he lives and intercedes for us. And you know what the Bible talks about in terms of Jesus pouring out authority to heal? Do you know where he does that? He does it with his apostles when he sends them out on the mission and with the 72. It's the only time. That's the only time he gives people authority to heal and to cast out demons. And so to make the point really explicit, there is nowhere in the Bible where we are given authority to cast out demons or heal the sick. Which is why we don't do it. I mean, that's kind of obvious, isn't it? If we had that authority, and I'll pick on Michael. Michael comes up and says, oh, Jim, I've got a gammy leg. I say, oh, no worries, brother. Go and walk. But I can't do that. Well, I can do that, but it just won't heal him. We don't have that authority. And that's the reason why I don't have a charismatic style healing service. I'm very happy to pray for you. I'm very happy to come to your house. Happy to anoint you with oil if you'd like that. But I'm not going to have the authority to just say, get up and walk. Be healed. Because I've never been given that authority and nor have you. Now it's interesting in some of the Bible passages that we think about healing. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the gift of healing given to the body of the church. But again, in all my years as a Christian, I've never seen the kind of healing that Jesus does. That kind of instant, total healing. And so I take it we pray. We pray for healing. In fact, why do we do that? Well, we keep coming to Jesus. And so how do we come to Jesus now? Through prayer. In Acts 28, Paul's on the island of Malta and he heals It says the whole island came to him for healing. That may be an overstatement, I expect. But who knows? The people of Malta come to Paul and he heals them. But when Epaphroditus was sick, Paul's co-worker, traveling companion, Paul was helpless. Paul couldn't just heal him. Why? No idea. Except to say, at that moment, he clearly didn't have the authority to do so. So even in the Bible, it's not always a case that everyone who is sick gets healed. Now, James 5 sounds close. James 5 talks about bringing people before God and praying for healing. But even there, a close reading suggests the end result is forgiveness. It's salvation. So you bring a sick person and their sins will be forgiven, it says. And in many ways, that gives us our answer to this question. What do we do with Jesus and healing? Well, the healings Jesus performed all demonstrate he's got compassion, he's got authority. He is able to cleanse us. He is able to give us the ultimate cleansing. He's able to bring us eternal life, to take away the penalty for our sin. That one day there will be no more cancer, no more Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, motor neurone disease. There will be total healing. But that day is not today. There is nowhere in the Bible where we are promised that kind of total healing today. In the meantime, well, we live with all those things. Now, but we don't lose sight of what Jesus has opened up for us. A place at the banquet. Total cleansing. Those things are ours. Fulfillment of the words in Isaiah, the one who would take our sins away. He's opened for us an eternal healing. So because he has compassion and authority, we pray to him today. And I do, I pray for you. For those of you who've shared your various ailments with me, I pray for those things. And because Jesus has compassion and authority, he may answer that prayer. He may answer it. But he may not answer it the way you want. He may not answer it in the sense of your trouble goes away. And indeed, he may use the sufferings of this world to teach us to rely on him. Sometimes the sufferings of this world, all you can do through them is draw close to Jesus, keep praying, keep depending on him. And sometimes it's just keeping looking forward to that day, isn't it? I'm sure you've had those days where you're going, oh, Lord, if you took me today, I'd be okay with that. I'd be glad if today was the day when eternity starts. I'd be glad for that. But here's the really good news. Think right now of a brother or sister you know who's suffering. A brother or sister in Christ who is suffering, whom you pray for healing. That person will certainly be healed at the resurrection. Those prayers will be answered definitely and beyond even what you're praying. So our challenge is a challenge of perspective. See, I know sickness can be overwhelming. I still remember the first time I was ever diagnosed with a skin cancer. For those of you that, you know, those of you who are veterans of the skin cancer world, it was just a BCC. Like, honestly, suck it up. But anyway, I had a BCC and all I heard was the word cancer. I was shocked. Now I have them cut out every year. Oh, they've always been cut out. Don't think twice about them. But when you are sick, it is overwhelming, isn't it? It is overwhelming. It can feel so unfair. Why am I like this, Lord? Our challenge is to keep trusting in Christ. His healing is sure. It is guaranteed, but not yet. He may heal you today, but he may not. And he may use that suffering to point you to him, to rely on him. And if you are tempted to doubt him, if you are tempted to go, if you really had compassion, if you really had authority, I'd be better, then I want you to look at the signs. Look at these signs. Look at what they point to. all of these signs, they're not about the healing. They point to something greater. They point to Jesus, who has the authority to cleanse us. They point to Jesus, who through faith brings us into the kingdom, to the banquet. And they point to Jesus, who takes away our sin. That's what they point to. And so while it is good, it is right to pray for healing, and I'll keep praying for you, it's important not to lose perspective. Your healing in Christ is certain. In him you will be healed. You will be glorious one day. So remain in him. Press on in him. Through the pain, through the struggles. Let me pray that we might do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the healing, the compassion, the authority that we see in Jesus Christ. Thank you that he still has that authority, still has that compassion. And so help us to come to him in faith. And even when our prayers for healing are not answered the way we hope, help us to keep praying, confident that one day in Christ, all those things will be ours. And help us to draw close to you and remain in you. Amen.